Well, welcome everybody here this morning. It's a good group. We have several who are visiting. We hope that you feel welcome and loved and that the Holy Spirit ministers to you and to all of your needs. It's been a tough week for the church with four different families touched by deaths. But God's been with us. God's encouraged us. God's kept us going, given us peace. His presence makes all the difference in the world. So glad that you're here. And if you're out in the parking lot listening on the radio, we're glad to have you there. And if you're listening later on the website, you're still welcome. And I'm so grateful that the Holy Spirit's not limited to a building or to a radio wave or to a website. That the Holy Spirit can speak to us in many, many ways, many different places. And so we just welcome His presence as we come to worship the Lord. Father, we thank You for this day that You've given us. This is the day that You have made. We rejoice and we're glad in it. Like the psalmist, we say, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. Lord, we thank You that no matter where we are, You're there. No matter what's going on, You can speak to us. We thank You for Your abiding, eternal presence. Now we want You to know that You're especially welcome in this service to accomplish what You want to accomplish, to bring glory to the Savior Jesus. Lord, we do love You and we praise You and we worship You in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you, Pastor Ed, and good morning. Good morning. It is good to see you all this morning. If you're here visiting with us this morning, we want to make you very, very welcome. And indeed, you are our special guest. And we thank you for coming this morning. Happy Thanksgiving, everyone. I hope everyone got their turkey. David says, get your turkey. And get two turkeys. And if you don't like turkey, you get beef, right? Ah, kid David, I didn't mean to actually do that, David, but it's a good commercial, I guess. But anyway, it's good to see you all this morning. And since it is Thanksgiving, we always start off our service with a hymn sing. And I think we'd go to the good Thanksgiving song would come, you thankful people, come. I'll have to apologize again. We do not have the words up on the board for you. After our lightning strike, we're still working to get everything together. So I'm going to ask you to take your hymnals this morning. And do that. Take your hymnals to page 637. Hymnal 637. Excuse me, it is 636. Just turn left. And thank you. Kathy's keeping me straight. 636, we gather together. If you would please stand.
Gather together to ask the Lord's blessing. He chastens and hastens His will to make known the wicked oppressing. Now cease from distressing. Sing praises to His name. He forgets not. Beside us to guide us, our God with us joining, ordaining, maintaining His kingdom divine. So from the beginning, the fight that we are winning, the Lord was at our side, the glory. We all do it.
thank you very much and welcome someone this morning. All right, I have some announcements for you this morning. And again, we welcome everyone this morning. I want to bring you up to date on a few things. You see in your bulletins that there was a meeting scheduled for the Youth Pastor Search Committee. That has been changed now to Tuesday, this coming Tuesday at 6 p.m. So you, the members of that committee, please mark your calendars. That will be Tuesday, okay? Also, that we need to remember that the Baptist Children's Home, our annual offering is still in progress, and we have up to date so far $470, and we've got the month to go. So you hang in there, and we'll get that goal. Samaritan shoeboxes, again, we've taken monetary donations. If you want to support it in that way, we'll be glad for you to do that, and we have received some money so far with that as well. And so that's... I have. Jeff, you have something you want to share?
Yes. As y'all well know, we had Mark Q this year. And that is the Baptist Men's largest fundraiser. But we are going to sell Boston Butts. We're planning to cook on Friday, December the 30th. You'll be able to pick them up Saturday morning, December the 31st, for New Year's. So, ladies, push your men to come up here and get a butt so you don't have to cook New Year's. And they'll be $45. I do have sign-up sheets. I just forgot to bring them. And in the meantime, if you have to sell one, get a name, telephone number, and a email address. And a check. That'd be real good. So, please participate. We need your help. And if you sell them, go sell as many as you want. Look up them. And then you can pick them up ready to go in the freezer or ready to go in the pot to eat.
All right. Thank you, Brother Jeff. Any other announcements? All right. Okay. You know, it won't be long till there'll be time for Christmas. And just so you know that we are planning a Christmas program here. And the details will be in next Sunday's bulletin and also the pastor's newsletter. So we will be having, we will not have a cantata as usual because the choir has not been assembled thanks to that dreaded word, COVID. And so we've not been able to do that. But we will indeed have a Christmas program. I want you to know that. And we'll do it on the Sunday night prior to Christmas like we always do. We're going to have a fellowship meal that will be on the second Saturday. And that's going to be planned. You'll see the details of that, too. So just know that we haven't forgot fellowship. We're not going to let COVID bear us down to the point where we're not fellowshipping with each other. And besides, Tony Eford would get me if we didn't have the food part of it, right? So keep that in mind. All right. All the other announcements, anything at all? All right. Let's go to our prayer request. We spend a lot of time every Sunday in prayer. Why? Because we believe prayer changes things. We believe prayer is important. And so we do that. There's a list of family members that we need to remember, and we'll put those in first this morning. We've had a week not like any other I've ever experienced where the deaths has taken our loved ones from us, but we also have assurance that they're in heaven, as Kenny has assured us this morning. But we have family of Jerry Kelly, Bobby McLaurin, Dakota Barfield, Heath Hahn, and also Brother Kenny's family as well, Kenny Linker's family. So keep those families in your mind this morning and in our prayers as we pray this morning. Also, let's remember Lisa Herring. Lisa is the wife of the pastor she's the mother of the pastor of Red Cross. And Lisa was a member here at Barbers Grove for many, many years. But Lisa is in serious condition this morning, I understand. Let's keep her in our prayers this morning. Let's also remember Betty Davis. Betty Davis has experienced some infection problems, and let's keep her in our mind. Brother Tony Eford, let's remember him. He fell, but he has some stitches, but Ruth says he's doing better and stronger, and let's remember them. Let's remember Brenda's grandson, Nathaniel. He will have surgery next week for adenoids and also tonsils, right? I believe that's correct. And so, let's see, Graham Crosby. We've been asked this morning. Let's remember Graham Crosby this morning, who's having some surgery that we'll need to remember. And let's remember Brenda Burris. Brenda, our organist, she's not with us this morning. She's not doing well. She's having some infection problems with us this morning. So let's remember Brenda. I believe I said Betty Davis, right? Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. That's all I have on my list. Are the others? Yes, David. How is it? Good. Wonderful.
Dad's supposed to go back January to get his lens put back on his eye, but other than that, he's still well.
Okay. Okay.
And just remember, Stacy's going to need to put her on prayer list, but she's still having some congestion problems and stuff.
No. I'm sorry. I had no idea it was taking that long for her to get back on her feet. So we will keep remembering Stacy. Are there others?
Better, my name's still on that list. You
know. Okay. All right, you're okay. Yeah, you are. God bless you. You're okay.
Yeah.
Robert.
I'd like to put Mrs. Mark Johnson and Susan Lee. God knows about it, Susan.
And Susan Lee. Okay. Others? Then let's go to the Lord in prayer this morning, please. Our Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you, Lord, for an opportunity we have to be in your house today. We thank you for a time of worship, a time of fellowship. And Lord, we thank you for the health you've given us to be here in our places this morning. We thank you for those who have been here, are here this morning, and have prioritized their time to be here this morning. We're also very thankful for our visitors this morning, and we pray for them, and we thank them for being here with us. But now, Lord, as we go forward in the service today, we want to lift up our pastor, Pastor Ed, as he will be preaching to us today in his word, and help us to apply those words as our Sunday school lesson taught us this morning. Help us to apply those words and pass it on to someone else. And then, Lord, as we remember the list that we've had this morning, quite large and quite extensive. But, Lord, you've asked us to be specific with our request, and I want to lift them up to you, Lord, this morning. I pray, Lord, for the families that who've lost loved ones, the Jerry Kelly family, the Bobby McLaren, the Dakota Barfield, the Heath Hahn, and Kenny Linker's family. We pray for them, Lord, as they have lost their loved ones. And, Lord, we pray for comfort for them as that passes all understanding. We pray for that comfort. Then, Lord, we lift up this morning to you, Lord, we pray for Lisa Heron this morning. We pray for Betty Davis, Lord, as she is experiencing some problems. Tony, as he's convalescing from the fall, we pray for him. We pray for Brenda's grandson, Nathaniel. And then, Lord, we ask, Lord, a special prayer for we pray for Stacy, who's been working, we're having a long time, a long battle with some illness. Lord, we pray for her to get better. We pray for Graham Crosby, as he has a leg in amputation. And then Brenda Burris, who's sick this morning. And as Robert has asked, remember Ms. Mark Johnson and Susan Lee. Those people, Lord, we lift up in your name to be specific and ask, Lord, that you would have healing for their bodies or meet their needs that they have, Lord, we pray. Now go with us now, Lord, in the further continuation of the service today. And we pray, Lord, your blessing upon it. And these blessings I ask in your name. Amen. All right, let's have a song of praise this morning. If you will, take your hymnals again, and let's turn to page 446. 446, Take Time to Be Holy. Say, well, stand, please. All four verses, please.
Make friends of God's children, help them.
forgetting in nothing His blessings to see. Take time to be holy. The world rushes on. Spend much time in secret with Jesus alone. By looking to Jesus, like Him thou shalt be. Thy friends in His conduct, His likeness shall see. Take time to be holy. Let Him be thy guide. And run not before Him, whatever betide. In joy or in sorrow, still follow thy Lord. And looking to Jesus, still trust in His word. Take time to be holy. Be calm in thy soul. Each thought and each motive beneath His control. Thus led by His Spirit to mountains of love, thou soon shalt be fitted for service above. And everybody said, amen. You may be seated. Children, you are dismissed. Children.
Love the kids. Amen. They're precious. Amen. They really, really are. Jesus said, let the little children come unto me, forbid them not. For of such is the kingdom of heaven. Amen. You know, I don't watch too much television. This time of year, maybe the evening news two or three times a week. And then football, college football game on Saturday afternoon.
Amen.
Amen. And you know, I don't have all these fancy cable hookups, so I just have to take what they offer. I don't can't pick and choose what I want to watch. But anyway, it seems to me that somehow or another, the commercials on television, and there's several ways I could go with this, but today I just want to go in a certain direction. Went from back to school sales to Christmas sales. And when I go into stores, they went from all the Halloween displays to the Christmas sales. And I'm scratching my head saying, well, whatever happened to Thanksgiving? Whatever happened to Thanksgiving? It's as if, you know, the Thanksgiving holiday really doesn't exist. Now, I've seen a couple of little news items that said people aren't able to this year to afford as much for their Thanksgiving meal as usual. The price of turkeys is up and the price of this is up and the price of that's up. So they may have to leave off a few things, but not much about Thanksgiving. And I just wonder, do we not need to stop and be thankful? Now, last week I preached from Deuteronomy, and I'm going to start in Deuteronomy again today. Deuteronomy 8. Deuteronomy 8. Now, Leonard did Deuteronomy 6 for Sunday school. So we're going to get it covered this month. Deuteronomy 8. And I could read the whole chapter, but let's just start with verse 7. Deuteronomy 8, verse 7. For the Lord thy God will be with thee in a good land, a land of brooks, of water, of fountains and depths that spring out of valleys and hills, a land of wheat and barley and vines and fig trees and pomegranates, a land of olive oil and honey, a land wherein thou shalt eat bread without scarceness, thou shalt not lack anything in it, a land whose stones are iron, and out of whose hills thou mayest dig brass. Moses, in this last address to the people of Israel, before they go into the promised land and before he goes to glory, says, I want you to know the promised land that God is offering you, the promised land into which God is bringing you, is a blessed land. There's going to be an abundance of water. The crops are going to be fertile. You can eat wheat and you can eat barley and you can have honey and you can have pomegranates and you can have olive oil and you can have all of these wonderful, wonderful things. And God is bringing you into this land. God is giving you this land. It's a place of blessing. But you know, sometimes blessing leads to problem. And it's not a problem from outside enemies. It's a problem within our hearts. It's not enemy soldiers. It's a problem in our hearts. Look at verse 10. When thou hast eaten and art full, then thou shalt bless the Lord thy God for the good land which he hath given thee. In other words, he said, you need to thank God for the land that he's given you. Beware that thou forget not the Lord thy God in not keeping his commandments, his judgments, his statutes, which I command thee this day. Lest when thou hast eaten and art full, hast built goodly houses and dwelt therein, when thy herds and thy flocks multiply, thy silver and thy gold is multiplied, all that thou hast is multiplied, then thine heart be lifted up, and thou forget the Lord thy God, which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage. And then skip over to verse 17. And thou shalt say in thine heart, my power and the might of mine hand hath gotten me this wealth. But thou shalt remember the Lord thy God, for it is he that giveth thee power to get wealth, that he may establish his covenant which he sware unto thy fathers, as it is this day. Moses says, listen, you're going to be blessed. You're going to have an abundance of blessing. Be sure your hearts don't grow cold. Your hearts and minds don't become forgetful. You don't become proud and say, and well, in verse 14, you forget that it's God that gave you this. And in verse 17, he says, my power and my might got me all of this good stuff. I think I've said this to you before, but once in a while, I'll preach a sermon or write a newsletter that I think's pretty good, and my chest starts puffing out, you know, I'm feeling good, and I'm patting myself on the back. And about that time, the Holy Spirit says, Ed, who gave you that idea? Well, you did, Lord. Who helped you to develop that idea? You did, Lord. Who gave you the education to put that together? You did, Lord. Who kept your heart beating and your lungs breathing and your blood flowing while you did that? You did, Lord. By that time, my chest is deflated. And I realize that apart from the Lord, it's not going to happen. It's cold this morning. I could have worn some gloves. If I held up a glove, now what good's that glove? What can that glove do? Absolutely nothing. Until somebody puts their hand in that glove. I mean, that glove can't even stop up a hole in the window if somebody's hand doesn't put it there. It's just a floppy little thing. But in with somebody's hand in that glove can do anything that that hand can do. And Moses is reminding the people they need to be aware of where their blessings come from, of who has enabled them to have these blessings. And you remember in the upper room, Jesus said basically the same thing. I am the vine, you are the branches, and apart from me, you can do what? Nothing. Apart from me, zero. Because if the nurturing juices don't come up through the vine, the branches don't get them. And the branches cannot bear fruit. The writer here is, Moses is reminding the people not to get proud and arrogant because of their blessing. Because it's God giving them the blessing. I think about our early American pioneers. They worked hard. How many of you here besides me ever plowed with a mule or a horse or an oxen? Two or three of you, four. Not easy, is it? It's work. They didn't have these high-powered tractors with the cabs and the air conditioning and the heat. They had a mule or a horse or an oxen. And in some cases, the wife pulled the plow or the husband pulled the plow and the other one held on to the plow. Yep. Amen. You think about those log homes they built. They didn't have high-powered chainsaws. They cut those trees down with an axe. Some of you have done that as well, and that's not exactly easy. I imagine that's why so many of those cabins were small. They didn't have a forklift or some kind of crane to lift those logs up and put them on top of one another. And I can imagine that some of those cabins, once they got it over Dad's head high, they stopped. Of course, some of them they built a loft in for the kids to sleep in. But, you know, it was work. Pam's family was from the mountains of Kentucky. Some of them worked down in those coal mines. Not an easy job. Not an easy job. But we need to remember, God put the coal in the ground. God put the trees here that were here when our pioneer ancestors came. God put the gold and the silver and the oil and the gas in the ground. God put his rain and his sunshine and made those crops grow. God gave the fertile soil. And for us as Americans to get to the place where we say, look at what we have done, is to forget. If God had not prepared the place for us, we wouldn't be blessed like we're blessed. Now, just like I said, those early pioneers and many of you work hard. You've put your sweat, you've put your labor, you've put your mind, you've put your muscles into it, you've worked hard. But at the same time, it's God's preparation that made our efforts bring forth prosperity. Moses goes on to say, well, verse 18, but thou shalt remember the Lord thy God, for it is he that giveth thee power to get wealth. It's God that gives us the power to get wealth. Why? That he may establish his covenant which he sware to thy fathers. God wants us to be blessed because it honors him. And then he goes on to say, now, if it shall be that you do forget the Lord thy God and walk after other gods and serve them and worship them, I testify against you this day that you'll perish. As the nations which the Lord destroyed before your face, so shall you perish, because you would not be obedient unto the voice of the Lord your God. God says, if you forget me, if you turn your back on me, you're not going to do well. No matter how much we've been blessed, if we turn our back upon God, if we start taking credit for it ourselves, if we take God's goodness for granted, we're not going to do well. Well, I don't want to stop on a negative note. Turn with me to Psalm 100. Turn with me to Psalm 100. And here's the real attitude, the correct attitude. Psalm 100. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. I'm glad he said that, because that includes me. It doesn't say sing in beautiful harmony, four-part harmony or whatever. It says make a joyful noise. So that includes me. He says, be joyful in God's presence. Be joyful in God's presence. Verse 2, serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Serve him with gladness, not reluctance. Not reluctance, but with gladness. I felt real sorry for a missionary couple I read about. And I don't know what part of the world they were in. But after like 30 years or something, they came home from the mission field. And I'm sure they took some furloughs in between. They said, we hated every minute of it. We hated every minute of it. Oh, folks, I pray that when you come to church, you come with gladness. I pray that when you stand, those of us to teach Sunday school, you serve the Lord with gladness. I pray that when you stand to sing, whether you're in the choir or some of you that sing solos, that you serve the Lord with gladness. Whether it's going back to the nursery and changing a diaper, I pray that you do it with gladness. If you have to do it with, you know, one hand over your nose. That all that we do, he says, serve the Lord with gladness. And if you can't, if you don't know it, let me tell you, I enjoy preaching. I've enjoyed preaching for 50 years. 60 years, really. I enjoy it. I enjoy writing the newsletters. It's a kick. It's a thrill. You know, there's sometimes I'm just riding down the road. I've been to the hospital, nursing home, been somewhere, and I think, I can't believe how incredibly happy I am just doing what I'm doing. And I pray that that's the way you are when you serve the Lord. I'm not patting myself on the back. I'm just blessed that God lets me do what I do. He says, make a joyful noise. The whole world make the joyful noise and serve the Lord with gladness and come into his presence with singing. Come into his presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he that hath made us and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. We need to continue to remind ourselves he created us. He made us. We belong to him. And those of us who know Jesus Christ as our personal Lord and Savior, the Bible says, know ye not that your body's not your own? You are bought with a price. You are bought with a price. The precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ purchased your salvation, your forgiveness, your eternal life. We belong to him, not to ourselves. Then he goes on to say, enter into his gates with thanksgiving, into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name. It says, come into the Lord's presence with thanksgiving and praise and thanksgiving, blessing his name. So many times in the Psalms, bless the name of the Lord. Psalm 103, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the name of the Lord. And in reading this, one translation says, come into his presence with a thank offering. A thank offering. You ever give the Lord a thank offering? I thought of it this way. I come to the Lord and I bring my tithe. Say, Lord, this is your tithe. It belongs to you. Lord, here's my usual amount for, say, the Baptist Children's Home or Lottie Moon or something. But Lord, you've been so good to me. You've blessed me so much. I just want to give you a thank offering. And whether I give it to the general budget of the church or whether I give it to some ministry that honors the Lord and preaches the gospel, that's not the point. The point is I just come before the Lord and said, Lord, you have been so good to me. You have blessed me so tremendously. You have just made me so joyful. I just want to bring a thank offering. I just want to say thank you with my gift. Now, the size of that thank offering, up to us. That little widow lady in the Gospels, she had 2 pennies, 2 mites. That was her thank offering. For somebody else, it might be a lot more. And it occurs to me that a thank offering can be something other than money. You may say, Lord, I just want to give a thank offering by going over here somewhere just by myself and singing your praises for the next hour. I just want to thank you, Lord. I just want to bless your name. I just want you to know I love you. It may be a moment of service. Lord, I just want to do something to honor you. And I'm going to go and do this ministry as a thank offering for you. Oh, you know, that just sort of grabbed my imagination when I saw that translation. Come before the Lord with praise, with thanksgiving, and a thank offering. How often, how wonderful, just to let the Lord know I love him. Now, guys, if you got a good wife, you need to do an I love you gift every so often. I mean, dare you not forget Christmas, birthday, and anniversary. You're in big trouble. Amen. But you ever just stop and buy a bouquet of flowers for no reason other than, hey, honey, I love you? Or something else special that you know that would be a blessing? A thank offering. Now, you see, the difference of what Moses is trying to get across to the people and what the psalmist is saying. Moses is saying, listen, don't let the devil distract you. Don't let the devil get your mind focused upon yourself and upon your blessings and upon all that you have. Keep God at the forefront. And the psalmist here is saying, keep God at the forefront with your praises and your worship and your giving. And he tells us why in that very last verse of that chapter. For the Lord is good. Some churches, you know, the pastor gets up to start the service. God is good. And the people say, all the time. And then the pastor says, all the time. And the church answers, God is good. God is good. He's not out to get you. He's not out to destroy you. God wants to bless you. I mean, what did we read there in Deuteronomy? It is God who gives you the power to get wealth. So if God is giving you the power to get wealth, it must mean he wants to bless you. He wants you to prosper. And so he says, the Lord is good. And then he says, his mercy is everlasting. Aren't you glad? In the Lamentations, we read, God's mercy is new when? Every morning. Now, I don't know about you, but most days I use up all the mercy he's got for today. I mess up enough times that I need forgiveness for this, that, or the other. But thank God when I get out of bed the next morning, there's a new bucket of mercy just for me and just for you. And that mercy is for everlasting. You know, you're not going to be in heaven for, say, 10,000 years. And God say, well, I'm sorry. You've used up my mercy. You got to go to hell. What is this amazing grace? When we've been there 10,000 years, we've just begun. God's mercy is forever. And it says his truth endureth to all generations. God's word. You can depend upon this. It was true when it was written. It's true 1,000 years ago. It's true now. And will be true for all of eternity. As we celebrate Thanksgiving, let's celebrate Thanksgiving. The stores may skip Thanksgiving. The TV ads may skip Thanksgiving. But folks, let's you and me let God know how much we love him and how grateful and thankful we are for our physical blessings, our financial blessings, our spiritual blessings. I dare say that most everybody in this room is going to go to heaven. Thank God. Thank God for Jesus. Thank God that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Well, you know the story. Israel did forget. But we don't have to. I'm going to choose to let God know how thankful I am. And I pray that's your choice as well. There's somebody here that needs to receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Would you come? Just walk down the aisle and I'll come down and meet you. There's another decision you need to make. Would you come? Perhaps many of you just need to bow your heads and say, Lord, I'm so thankful. So thankful for the blessings that you've given me. Lord, I want to honor you with my thanksgiving and my praise. This day. Truly, Lord, great is your faithfulness unto us. Truly, all that we've needed, you have provided. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for this beautiful, wonderful country we live in. Thank you for all the natural resources you put in the ground for us to receive. Thank you for the way we've been blessed. with food and clothing and an abundance of ways. But most of all, Father, thank you for the forgiveness of sin, for the eternal life that you provided for us through Jesus Christ. And Father, may we always be reminded, it's you who have blessed us. Thank you that you enable us to work hard. But Father, thank you for reminding us that you are the source of our blessing. Now may the Lord bless you, the Lord keep you, the Lord make his face to shine upon you. May the Lord be gracious unto you and give you peace. In Jesus' name, amen.